Welcome to the Family Travel Podcast by A Big Peachy Adventure, where we help families plan their adventures, whether it's for a week, indefinite, or anywhere in between. No matter what your budget, we bring you hints and tips from the experts, inspirational stories of families who are living their dreams, as well as must-see highlights from places that we and our guests visit. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Family Travel Podcast by A Big Peachy Adventure. Today we are in Tin Can Bay, which is in southeast Queensland. We arrived to rain yesterday, but today the sky has cleared and it has been the most beautiful sunny day, and we have had the most unreal time. We got up early this morning and we went down and we fed dolphins, which has been high on my bucket list. Pretty much my whole life since I saw Daphne from Full House back in the 90s, swimming with the dolphins in SeaWorld. So that was a bit of a highlight for me. Michael took a bit of time out to go for a bit of a run, which he needed. Meanwhile, I took the kids down to the park. So that was a load of fun because the park is right on the waterfront and it was low tide. And out in the mud were hundreds and hundreds of soldier crabs. So the kids ran around having a ball trying to catch them all. And last of all, tonight, we all went down to go fishing, which sounds beautiful, but with three small children, it's nowhere near as relaxing or as fun as you'd imagine it to be.
And Natalie wasn't the most optimistic person about it. On the way to fishing, she made me pull over and we went to a fishing warehouse and she bought fish
it's
for
true.
Dinner
it's true.
Before we even put the rod in the water. And just as a bit of an aside, we had a bit of a freak out as we were driving up from Brisbane here to Tin Can Bay. We passed a sign that said Cairns, 1,574 kilometres. Australia is a massive place. Anyway, today's show. We bought a caravan without trying one. Mind you, we bought a small one to start off with, but, you know, it wasn't that expensive, but it was still a bit of an outlay, and we were lucky. We obviously loved it so much, we upgraded and are travelling around Australia full-time in one. We didn't do the whole try before you buy thing, because we didn't know things like the Airbnb version of the caravan and RV world was even an option.
It was funny this morning, actually, when we went to do the dolphin feeding, we bumped into a family who was standing in line with us, and they were doing a bit of a shorter trip up the coast, and we asked them what they were doing it in, and they said, oh, we're actually just scratching an itch, and we have hired a caravan. I don't know if you've heard of Camplify, like it's the Airbnb of caravans. And we're like, oh, yeah, I think we've heard. But anyway, so it's got a lot of benefit for people. For one, if they just want caravan for a short amount of time or if they want to try one out. But also, if you've finished a lap and you're not sure what to do with it, or if you've got a caravan that's just sitting around doing nothing, it's a good way to just make a little bit of extra money.
Yeah, so we understand if people are skeptical about hiring out your van to the sharing economy. I'll be honest, we were. And, you know, for selfish reasons, one of the things we started this podcast for was to use it as a platform to learn what we should be doing about the whole caravan, camping, RV world. And I was too lazy to read the FAQs. And so instead, today we actually have with us Dave Eddy, the director of Camplify, the largest caravan RV sharing platform in Australia, to share how it works.
So we just have to let you know that we're not receiving any commercial benefit from our episode today. It's just a subject that has interested us, and when we had the connection to Dave, we jumped at the chance to chat to him. So why should you listen? Well, if you're contemplating buying a van, this is the perfect opportunity for you to try out different makes and models. Or if you have one and you'd like to make a few extra dollars, maybe it's just sitting in your garage at home, then have a listen as to how you can make a bit of extra money. Or if you just want to find out if this is an option and want to find out more about what you can do post-lap. Anyway, I hope you find our chat with Dave today very informative.
And don't forget to stick around for today's review of our caravan parks, which is the Solitary Island Marine Park Resort on the northern coast of New South Wales.
We hope you enjoy our chat with Dave Eddy.
Welcome, Dave Eddy from Camplify.
G'day.
So just out of interest, may be of interest to you anyway, is Trip in a Van were the ones who basically inspired us to be travelling around Australia at the moment. We follow them on Facebook, and when we first noticed you guys on the page the other day,
this whole Camplify thing seemed pretty interesting. So, Dave, in about 30 words or less, what is Camplify?
Camplify, the easiest way to describe us is we're just like Airbnb, but for caravans and motorhomes. So we help people who own RVs hire them out while they're not using it and make money, and in turn help people who don't own an RV go out and experience the joys of camping. I think that was more than 30 words. Sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't count.
Airbnb for caravans and campers sounds pretty good. How did the idea come about?
So the idea came about Justin, my co-founder and our CEO. He was walking around his neighborhood with his wife and noticed there was lots of idle caravans just sitting there, and they had spoken about potentially buying one. And they thought, well, why don't we just hire one, see how it goes? And they realized it wasn't an easy online way to do that. So yeah, we entered an accelerator program through Slingshot with the NRMA. And yeah, got through that program, and the rest is kind of history.
And you're much of a camper yourself?
I hadn't been for a lot of years. I was when I was a kid, hadn't for a lot of years. And then obviously recently, the last few years, right back into it.
So you've been able to take a few caravans out on little trial runs and stuff like that?
Yeah, we have most notably, we're looking at doing like a Christmas party this year at one of our owner's properties. So I'm looking forward to that one.
And is it just caravans, or is it camper vans and camper trailers and all that sort of stuff as well?
Yeah, so it's a mix. A perfect RV on the site is a family van. The bigger the better, so to a point. So anything with bunk beds that sleeps four or five or more, and usually something that's not too big that you can't tow with the sort of small SUVs, four drives, is around the sweet spot. So probably I would say 60-70% of the listings on our site are caravans or camper trailers. And then we've got a fair few motorhomes and camper vans as well. We also have a London double-decker bus, believe it or not.
Goodness me, where's that?
It's south of Sydney. A guy called Simon, he brought it over. It's like a 1969 or something refurbished London double-decker red bus that he's turned into a motorhome.
That sounds amazing.
It's just out of interest. Is that one hired out all the time, or do people freak out?
Yeah, it's a different sort of hire because you've got to – he doesn't want people driving it because it's got its little
Heights.
Bug. And so it's a different sort of holiday than most of our other hires.
Okay, so how does it work then? I mean, how do you know – or how do you choose who gets to drive it? And, how do you know you haven't got Walter White from Breaking Bad hiring a vehicle?
Well, we did have him on this site and we banned him. No, really. So, we're pretty big on, or very big on safety. So we really encourage our owners to vet the hirers that they get inquiries from and ask them questions. Where are you going? What are you doing? What kind of car do you have if you're looking to tow? And feel comfortable before they take that hire, even to the point of the booking being approved and the hirer showing up to pick up the van. If you're not feeling comfortable, we say don't go through the hire. So we have lots of educational tools and content in place to help them make that right decision. We have onboarding processes, and we vet sort of every hirer that comes through our platform to make sure the wrong sort of people aren't coming through the community.
And on that, if someone's never driven or towed, a caravan before, or a motorhome, do they just come and pick it up, or is there a course that they can do, or is there some way that you ensure that they know what they're doing and not going to reverse it into something?
Can they get orientation to the vehicle as well, or how does that work?
That's a really good question. So we have different hire types, and some owners just don't want anyone to tow their vans regardless of experience, and that's fine. So they can opt to just allow hire by a setup. So they might set a 50-kilometer or 30-kilometer radius around where the van's located and then go and drop it off and set it up for the hirer at the park, and which works well because lots of hirers actually don't want to tow. And so for the people who do, they obviously have to have the right sort of vehicle. We have partnered with a company called Elect Brakes, who have designed this revolutionary sort of portable electric brake controller that is actually attached to the trailer, to the van instead of the car. And it's controlled by an app while you're driving. So that's been really useful for us, because people who don't have the correct equipment or the brake controller fitted can easily go on a hire, and the owners can hire to anyone who's got the rights of the car. We do have some resources around how to tow and that kind of thing, but generally we advise owners to really sort of vet that hire and make sure they feel comfortable with their towing experience and their abilities.
Yeah, okay. So, but I can imagine though sometimes accidents do happen.
Sure.
In that case.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting journey, because obviously accidents happen when you're out on the road or you're hiring anything. What we've found looking at industry standards across commercial operators, rental operators, is our rates of damage and things going wrong is extremely low, like incredibly low for the amount of hires we're doing. We kind of asked ourselves at one point, I wonder why that is. And my theory is that if you go and stay at a hotel and you're not meeting with the owner of the hotel, you're not having to look the person in the eye who has, forked out money for the beautiful linen sheet and the walls and stuff, you might jump on the bed, throw the towels on the floor.
Yeah.
If you go, say, an Airbnb, you meet the person, it's a, like, you don't want
to
that. And, and it's the same with us. So we have lots of support around the pre and post hire checklist for each booking that happens. And because our owners really care about their RVs, they make that part pretty thorough. So it might be a 45-minute handover process where they show them the van, show them, here's how you do this, here's how you put the NX up, don't do this, don't do that. And the hirer on the other side, they're really keen. They don't want to bring the van back and go, oops, sorry. So that piece there, that personalized piece, I think that's what really helps us minimize those issues.
Okay, and is there a typical sort of user on the, I guess, on the hirer side who, is there a typical sort of demographic or type of person who hires a vehicle out, or is it everyone from all walks of life?
There is a range, but predominantly it's families. So it's families and couples, 30 to 50 parents with a couple of kids, 2, 3, 4 kids, and then we have the couples going for a getaway. We don't tend to attract the backpacker sort of market that a lot of the other camper vans or the rental companies specialize in. And part of the reason for that is most of the hires, you got to bring it back to where you got it from. So a backpacker kind of rental might fly into Cairns and then want to take a camper to Brisbane one way and drop it off. Mm-hmm. Whereas on our platform, it's a different sort of hire experience. You go somewhere and bring it back, or you go to a park nearby and bring it back to where the van is located.
So do you find there are quite a few families, say, who are considering doing a lap of Australia that might hire it for a bit to see if, like, caravan life is for them, and to see if maybe, say, the Jayco Expander is the right caravan they want to purchase?
Yeah. That's a huge part of what we're seeing. So we're seeing lots of people go and do a couple of holidays because they're not sure which van is right for them, and try a couple of different types and then go and make a purchase decision after that. That's happening a lot, even probably more so than people deciding not to buy a van at all. We're finding they're trying vans, loving them, like finding the right one for them, and actually going out and making the purchase decision.
Mm-hmm. And on the other side of the coin, is there a typical type of person who has the van and they're hiring it out?
Yeah. So it's in terms of demographics, it definitely varies, but it is usually that family sort of range as well. A lot of business owners who are a bit savvy and people who get customer service, we really like dealing with those sorts of owners, because those people at the end of the day, they're kind of like a customer service team. They deliver the end experience. We don't get the misconception early on, especially, was that we would have lots of the grey nomads, because they obviously own more caravans. But those sorts of people, they're usually using their vans.
Yeah.
So it's typically a family who maybe has made the purchase decision, gone on their lap around Australia, and then thought, oh, crap, it's just sitting there, we're not using it. Or perhaps dad's talked mum into buying one, and they're in that I told you you shouldn't have bought that that van sort of phase. And they're just too busy to get out and use it. So they're probably the main sort of segments that we're seeing in terms of owners.
And it's funny, since you you mentioned before about how it started with yourself, since we bought a caravan, just walking around the streets, it seems like there's a caravan parked in every third or fourth driveway. It's just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, I tell you what, I never used to notice them until we started this business, and now it's just, you know, it's in my head, so I feel like it's a plague of vans. But seriously, there's 550,000 registered RVs in Australia at the moment, and the vast majority of them only go out, you know, 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks a year. So in terms of utilization and the opportunity for people to make better use of those assets, then yeah, the opportunity is huge.
Yeah, we've been up the coast of New South Wales, and I think most of the caravan parks are sitting empty at the moment, so there must be a lot of caravans parked at home. So how much could someone expect to earn if they were listing their caravan with Camplify? Is there an average amount or?
Yeah, we have a calculator on our website. It's a great resource. It's just at camplify.com.au/fee calculator, or you just go to Camplify and there's buttons that will lead you there. It is a tool that allows you to plug in the type of RV, the location, the accessories, etc., and gives you a rough estimate of what you could earn per week based on the nightly rates that we're seeing that do vary depending on location and time of year. But generally, if you're in a good area like, let's say, Brisbane or the Gold Coast or, you know, Wollongong, for example, and you've got the right type of big family van, you might charge $120, $130 a night in peak times and $100 or $90 or around that sort of level in the off-peak times. It's definitely not unusual for a van to go out 150, 200 nights a year if it's the right type of van. So the numbers do it up, and we've got plenty of examples now of people who have, for example, a guy called Luke up in Brisbane. He started with a couple of one Easy Trail camper trailer, and he was flying in, flying out Boilermaker from Brisbane, missing his family, and found Camperfy, started hiring one camper, went to two, three, quit his job, and now he's got, I think, 25 as a little business up there. He's only really limited by the space that he has to store his vans. So, yeah, it's a really good story that we're seeing more and more of now.
Very impressive. we're both looking at each other going, oh.
Yeah,
pretty maybe cool. We know what to do after we've done our life, I don't know. So.
We love Luke. He's had a couple of stories published in Money Mag and a couple of news sites and calling him the sharing economy king. So he's just king to us now. It's not even Luke.
Excellent. So is it, before anyone lists with Camplify, is there anything that actually has to be done to your caravan or camper? Anything special, or is it just stock standard how you'd normally take it out yourself?
Yeah, registered, insured, just like, yeah, roadworthy. Our advice to owners is to set it up like you would like it set up if you were going on a holiday. And even if it does mean spending a bit of money on the appearance or the linen or whatever it is to make a better experience for the hirer, I think it's worth it, because just like eBay and Airbnb and these reviews-based systems, it really does, the long-term success on Camplify as an owner is really down to what you kind of deliver and what the holidaymakers think of your van and the experience you gave them.
And what about insurance? Do you need to do anything special with insurance?
Yeah, so we've solved the insurance problem. It's the number one question that owners ask us. And obviously, if you're putting a $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 asset on a website, you want to know that your property is going to be secure. So we've worked really hard and secured our own insurance solution that's fairly unique. It covers you on a per-day basis only while the van or the motorhome is out on hire. And so that's one option that we have. And then our second option is for owners who are doing a decent amount of nights per year and usually have two or more vans, which is lots of those people now. We have a premium member program where their entire insurance, comprehensive insurance, is run through us for the whole time. And it works out much more cost effective that way for them. And it's insured for when it's going out on hire, because generally, insurance companies will not insure your van for hire purposes. So we obviously had to create a solution for that. The other thing is, yeah, because of our partnership with the NRMA, each hire comes with 24/7 national roadside assistance. So that's obviously important if you get a flat tire or something.
So if someone's got a van and it's sitting there unused, or even if people are contemplating travel and they want to do the try before you buy thing, where can they find out more about Camplify?
www.camplify.com.au, and all the information is there. And we have a customer support team at support@camplify.com.au who can answer any question you have about how it works.
That's all sounded really good. I think we're definitely thinking of some options for when we return as to what to do with our van. So we may be getting in contact.
Do I get some sort of personal commission for that because Absolutely. Of this referral?
Excellent. Dave, this has been awesome. Thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to finding out more and signing up when we finish.
Thank you. Yeah, and thanks for your time. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
So today we're bringing you another review of a caravan park that we have stayed at, and this time it's Solitary Island Marine Park Resort in Woolley. So we have to send out a huge thank you to Sharon and Adam from the Galways Go Around for putting this one on our radar. Spending 2 nights at Solitary Island Resort in Woolley was a total spur-of-the-moment decision, but this caravan park was a surprise standout and would have to be in our top 3 paid camp spots that we've been to since leaving Adelaide.
Yeah, so Woolley was a place that neither of us had heard of until then. It's part of the Northern Rivers, just south of Yamba. We were there low season in winter, so found Woolley to be a pretty sleepy town. We wandered around it one day and didn't really find too much of interest except for the bowling club / Chinese restaurant / pub / bottle shop. Aside from that, there was not much in the town to hold our interest, except for the Goanna Pulling Championships.
Yeah, what even is that?
Hashtag Australia.
Yeah.
We're sure it picks up, quite a bit in the peak periods with maybe a bit more happening. There was a lot of signs around to show that there's a lot of holiday rentals. The resort, though, definitely worth a trip to Woolley just by itself, no matter what time of year. Pretty much was a little piece of paradise, really.
It was gorgeous. So we visited in low season, so we got discounted rates, plus we also got to pick the sites, which we always enjoy. We opted to spend a few dollars more for a waterfront site, and we were rewarded with a huge patch of lawn, no neighbours, and nothing between us and the Woolley River. We all loved it. All the sites seemed to be reasonable size, and what we really loved was how quite a few of them were surrounded by like these lush palm trees for extra privacy, and some even had like little picnic tables. It was these little extra touches that made it really stand out when comparing it to other parks we've stayed in. But if camping isn't your thing, there was also the option of cabin accommodation. There was even glamping.
So in terms of the amenities, we love the showers here. Rain shower heads, good water pressure and clean new facilities, with more being updated in the near future, had us very happy. We did see there is an older block of showers at another part of the park, but didn't use them. So if you go, make sure you visit the showers behind the camp kitchen. Speaking of the camp kitchen, we didn't use it, but it looked amazing. The whole central hub is great. Numerous barbecues that are coin-operated, the camp kitchen, a cafe bar that's open during busier times, closed when we were there, unfortunately. But there was a games room, sand pit, and there was a fire pit. So we're pretty gutted that we missed out on seeing what the whole area is like during holidays, as we imagine it would have been a hive of activity. A load of fun. There's also a dedicated outdoor movie screen that, again, we didn't get to experience due to it being low season.
The kids did love the bouncy pillow, though, as they always do. And as usual, they braved the freezing cold pool and water slide to test it all out.
And made me go in it.
And made Michael go in. The pool area was beautiful. There are all these cabanas around and it has its real resort feel, which again, during warmer seasons, I'm sure would be amazing going there, either as a family or, oh my gosh, going with friends would be unreal. We were very interested in the huge construction that was going on as part of the park. And when we asked about it, we were told that it's going to be a 100-meter water slide. Like, I've not seen water slide even half that in any caravan park we've been to yet. So included in your rate is also 2 free hours of kayak hire, which we didn't take up because small children. But you can also hire things like stand-up paddle boards. Or if you prefer to stay on land, you can hire go-karts or bikes, or there's even like a little mini golf course. There were so many activities. We chose to take it pretty easy, and we just all really loved just hanging out by the river, watching the fish and the birds and just relaxing as a family.
Yeah, so in terms of value for money, it was pretty much excellent. We paid around $45 a night with a 10% walk-in discount, hint, hint. We liked that kids under five were free, meaning we only had to pay extra for Chloe. We wish we could have been there during holidays or even on the weekend to enjoy some of the other things that don't happen during the week, like the Moonlight Cinema, the pizza night and other activities, but we still had a great time. We were impressed that they started a campfire for us on a Thursday night at the request of another travelling family we met, which that in itself was pretty awesome. Usually the campfire was a weekend thing, so we really appreciated them, you know, having the opportunity to toast some marshmallows with another family.
Now, we totally get that we were in Woolley in the wrong season, so the actual township didn't grab us. Perhaps if we'd stayed longer than two nights, we would have had more of an opportunity to explore it and get more of a feel of it and find out things in the area. But you know what? The resort's amazing. We could have happily just stayed there. And also, just next door, there is a pub slash bottle shop and service station with a little general store attached. So that in itself is pretty handy.
Yeah, so on that, the reason we could only stay for 2 days is because we wouldn't have had enough food in our caravan. So who should stay here? Anyone who enjoys a beautiful park with lovely surroundings and wants to get away from the hustle and bustle of busy areas. Also, if you go during holidays, I imagine it'll be bursting with kids. So during those times, be best for families. I wouldn't stay there if you want conveniences like, you know, supermarkets or nice restaurants within walking distance. You might find it all a little bit too sleepy. So if you are going to come stay, which I recommend you should, I would stock up on your groceries for the caravan because you won't be able to get any in town.
But overall, my goodness, it was an amazing park. We loved it. We had a great time there. And we would definitely rate it in our top three that we've stayed at out of all the places in Australia. And that is without the 100-metre water slide being completed. I really hope we get to return there one day and have a go on that.
Thank you for listening to A Big Peachy Adventure, Families Travelling Full Time. What drives us is hearing of those we've inspired to simplify their life and take the first step towards their travelling goals. So please, if you get any value from what we're doing, the biggest reward we could ask is that you share this podcast with your travelling buddies. Don't forget to click subscribe and also please leave us a review. 5 stars hopefully, but if not, that's okay. Please leave a comment and let us know what we can do better. If you'd like to connect with us personally or have any questions, you can find us on Facebook at A Big Peachy Adventure. See you on the road and happy travels.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.